Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you.
It's great to have you.
This is cool. This is really exciting.
Well, it's great to have you. I mean, it was quite the drive for you, yeah.
It's decent. I think in Utah, it's relative, right? We measure drives by time and not by distance. And you know, when you live where I live, if you're used to it, like it's just, you don't even blink at you. Turn on a podcast and you just go.
That's right. What main one is out of? You're all the way out in, is it Heber?
Camas. So Camas. Close.
Yeah. Oh, so, you know, not too far.
Yeah, it's not too far.
Not a drive at all.
Yeah, just the Wasatch Back. We consider it, it's a big clump. Like when you think like Midway, Heber, Camas, Park City, we're all kind of that Summit County. Like,
yeah,
it's all so spread out. We just think it's all the same.
You've got the Summit County thing going on. We've got the Wasatch Front, which encompasses what, like 20 cities?
So much, yeah.
Something like that. But it's all Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Naturally, of course.
Well, right? And that's, I grew up here. So like, I'm super dialed in with all this stuff. So this is all normal. Like I'm a born and raised Utah boy. So
that's awesome. Where did you grow up?
Sandy.
Sandy. Okay. Yeah. So you're local.
Local.
We're in South Jordan.
Yeah. So when I first got married, I actually moved out to Harriman when it was still kind of like podunk, like there was barely any houses. And now I drive out there and I'm like, oh my gosh, like there's a new high school and like all this stuff. But that was 13 years ago that I lived.
Yeah, it's developed a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of, I remember coming out here with family out in West Jordan, right?
Yeah.
And all of this area was basically filled.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember coming out and I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but I remember coming out and shooting and camping.
There
was a boys' camp.
Yeah. So even like 114th didn't even go past that Walmart. I mean, the Walmart wasn't there forever, but it never went past that. It didn't connect.
Yeah.
I remember how big of a deal it was when it finally came through.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I also remember the construction.
Oh my gosh.
Which, for anybody who isn't local, the construction is basically a parking lot half the time. So getting out where I live out in Daybreak, it's always an adventure.
Yeah. Isn't that like the Utah tree is the orange cone? Isn't that like the...
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we've adopted
that. We adopted that, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we adopted that, like, what, 2001?
Yeah. It's not a maple. It's not an aspen. It's an orange cone.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Take a nice hike through the...
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's the cone. Yeah. You'll never run out.
No, never. So, okay. So, I have to preface this. We're at the KW South Valley Keller Williams studio here in beautiful South Jordan, Utah. I have to do that for compliance reasons.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
So, got to make sure, you know, because I'm an agent too.
Yeah. So, you have to disclose that stuff.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yep. Anything, you know, having to do with it, of course, naturally. Okay. Main one.
Yes.
Tell me, what are you doing?
Man, we're doing a lot of stuff.
I know.
Yeah.
You've been crazy busy. You've been doing really well, though.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, we're in a good space, a growing space, right? Yeah. So one of our core pillars of what we do is influencer marketing. I think like this year, it's 20-something billion that's going to be spent in the industry just in this year alone. It's going to, like, I think it's on pace to do like 30 at some point in the next couple of years.
Just
like,
a little bit.
Just a tiny bit of money, right? And so there's a lot of opportunity. Which is really exciting. And I've been in the space for quite a while. So it's nice to kind of be ahead of that curve. Caught the influencer marketing piece early. You know, it came from social media, came from marketing. And so that's one of our core things. Also helping creators build brands, which is another cool opportunity. You know, these creators that are trying to go beyond just social media.
And
they turn social media into more of just like the marketing arm of a larger brand. And so that's something else that we're helping them kind of learn and focus on and build into. And that's really cool because then we have a chance to invest and, you know, help them grow, but also be a partner in that aspect too.
That's really cool. So it's more, it is a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
You're really stepping into a role to be able to help these influencers step out of themselves, if that makes sense, and really become a partner with these larger brands.
Yes, so. Which is really cool. And create your own brands, which is, that's also huge because usually like an influencer creator, whatever you want to call them, they have kind of like a prime time of about 5-ish years.
Yeah.
And so if you don't take advantage of that springboard, because it's a really cool springboard. And like when you have attention, you have a lot of attention, but to capitalize on that, otherwise you kind of miss the boat and then you're kind of always just limping along, which is unfortunate that you see a lot of creators get to that point because they weren't aware of how to do things or like build a larger business, or they thought that this is going to be forever, right? And it's not necessarily the case. And so that's something we also help them do, is kind of springboard and do into something larger, to where if you don't want to do social at some point and you evolve into more of just like an executive at a brand and a company you own, great. If you want to continue to do that just because you love it, also great. So
awesome. Yeah. And I think we lost our lights about halfway through that. I was deeply entrenched in what you were saying, though. That's really cool that you really do take an invested interest in the influencers that you're working with.
Yes.
And, you know, you help them build their own brand. I think for anybody who is completely lost right now as far as what they do, I mean, it's pretty easy to follow, honestly. Yeah. But think Mr. Beast. I mean, that's a really big example.
That's as big as it gets, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But like building the brand, mm-hmm. building something outside of just
that's a good case, because one of his biggest things is Feastables, right? Like that chocolate bar I mean, it's massive. I was actually just listening to a podcast that he did a couple months ago about how big it is. There you go.
There we go. Hey, it's back on. Promotion censored really lighting.
Intense. Moment.
We were deeply entrenched in this for just a minute there. Yeah.
But so that's a great example, because, you know, I mean, Jimmy's at a different level where his stuff still, and it's going to do it for, like, he has Beast Games that he just did, but like Feastables is
his, which was cool.
Yeah, it was way good. And I'm so stoked they have like a season 2 and 3 that is already going, because I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. I'm just, it's great. But Feastables is kind of that transcending into the CPG, the consumer packaged goods space.
Yeah.
And that's where you can become like, especially with his marketing, right? Because it is a marketing platform now.
It is. Yeah.
And like,
it
really is. Most of his stuff is gearing toward, especially Feastables. It talks about Feastables almost every time. You even saw it on Beast Games. Like, there's Feastables branding. But that's like a really, like a unicorn example of, you know, you don't have
really
to,
unicorn example. That's like a huge example.
One of one, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But that's a good example of what we try and help creators do, maybe on a smaller scale, right? Like, you don't have to be Mr. Beast to have a successful brand.
Yeah.
You can have a smaller brand and actually still really, really crush business. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of, you know, you're going to kid yourself if you think that that's a common thing to achieve at that scale, but you can still scale things to a point where it's very successful. Right. And sometimes you can even make an exit. I think I'm talking in macro levels right now, but you just saw Hailey Bieber, Justin Bieber's wife, just sold her cosmetic brand for like $1 billion.
Yeah.
Was it to Elf or something like that?
I think it was.
Yeah.
I could be totally wrong, but I think it was Elf.
Yeah. And it's like, she capitalized, used that as like, again, the marketing arm. And then she built it and used her personality and her brand and then just flipped it for $1 billion, which is insane. Like, holy cow, that's a lot of money.
Not common.
No, not common.
Not common. Don't expect to start a brand next year and sell it for $1 billion.
Unless you get married to Justin Bieber, then that's
perfect.
A leg up, right?
Then you get to leverage his platform in a way by association.
Definitely. Yeah. But those are good frameworks, right? Like, it's like, look at what's possible. And I mean, you can just, you know, scale it down or scale it up, because those are pretty big, but you can scale it down and follow kind of that similar framework.
Yeah. Well, I'm a data analytics nerd. Yeah, when I say it. A data analytics nerd, I mean, I'm compiling. I studied quantitative behavioral analytics and psychometrics.
Yeah.
For the people that don't know who that is, which is 95% of the population.
Yep.
That is determining behaviors based off of data that you can quantify. So say you're going into a store, for instance, and you buy the same thing every Tuesday and it shows on your bank records. You can quantify down to the day and the time frame, at least, that person is going to go in and be able to determine those behavioral patterns based off of whether micro or macro data. You can still determine those things.
Yeah.
Jimmy has that down pat.
Oh, that dude's a machine. Like, actually, like, you have, like, he's like a supercomputer in a person. It's insane that he knows human behavior.
Oh,
it's kind of crazy. Online human behavior, right? Like, that's it's like, that dude is obsessed with it. And that's why he succeeds, right? Like, and it's cool to watch.
Well, I love what you guys do, though. Go into what's kind of your process. What do you do?
Yeah. So like I said, the core pillar right now, because like the branding is like, it's case by case, right? Where it's like, can we build a larger brand? And it's a longer term thing where it's like, what is your brand? And you go through this whole exercise, right? Where it's like, what would even be resonate with your audience? And like, how would you grow it? There's a whole thing.
Yeah.
So the main core pillar is influencer marketing, right? And so that is where, well, and sorry, I'm digressing, but another piece is also helping them grow their social media brand. So those are kind of the two pieces, because they go hand in hand. Like the bigger, more powerful your, like your presence and your influential capacity, is on, you know, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, even Snapchat, like all these different places, the better the opportunities are to work with other brands that are already established, right? So that's influencer marketing, where essentially a brand utilizes, in the same way that they would utilize any other marketing, you know, avenue, like billboard, radio, digital ad space, all these different things. Influencer marketing is just another leg of that.
Yeah.
And so they will capitalize on the attention that an influencer has with their audience to promote their product and to sell their product, those types of things. So that's influencer marketing and like a very fancy sounding thing. Essentially, it's like, you know, a brand is, you hear like collab, like a brand like will collab with an influencer, or they'll sponsor a video or a post or things like that. So that's our main thing that we focus on, because it is something that, you know, it provides a really good income for creators that have, we're very intense.
It's going very intense now, guys. Everything is mood very changing. We're setting the mood for something.
But yeah, so they'll, sorry, I lost the train of thought. It was so intense. I got lost there for a sec, but, so they'll utilize these, you know, these influencers, and they're going to, it's a good source of income for the influencers. And so that helps them not only continue to do what they're doing, but kind of double down on the content to grow it and do it better. So you'll see that. I mean, heck, we're talking about Mr. Beast. So like, we'll just use him as an example. You go back to his early videos when he was like just a kid in North Carolina.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he was like, how long does it take to count to 100,000? Right. That was a video of his. And but then now you see what it's progressed to, where he like exceeded $100 million budget with Amazon. You know, it's like, but it, that started piece by piece, and brand sponsorships are one of those key things where it's, you can reinvest into content and do, you know, bigger and better things, which help you grow the content and make it better, which is this nice cycle of, you know, content growth and income. And then you can really grow something from it.
I love it. Yeah. Well, and a lot of brands, and speaking from experience, cause I've been on the other side of this, right? Looking for influencers and looking for people that have an existing base to tap into.
Yeah.
A lot of brands are looking for personality types. They're looking at their following. They're looking at every facet of it. Are these people that bring in a following that is actually going to buy my product?
Yeah.
Right. And from my understanding, you really help cultivate a lot of that to be able to help position them for that.
Absolutely. So, yeah. And you can kind of go two routes with brands, where it's like, do you want to double down? Are you doing really well on the target audience that you have, and you want to find more of that same target audience? Or are you experimenting and seeing who else your brand and your product could resonate with? Right. So there's kind of those two, you know, there's the testing side of things, where it's like, maybe our product does really well with moms in their 30s, but maybe at the same time, we should target males, like dads in their 30s, and just see what happens. And sometimes it flops and it's like, oh, that didn't work. Let's like continue to poke, but also go back to our core audience. And other times it opens a huge door. So for instance, like I'll give you a specific one, because it's here in Utah, Minky Couture. I work with Minky Couture, and there was a...
I love those guys.
Yeah. And they have, just looking at their branding, like their billboards and everything like that. But I have like 25 blankets, so I love them too. Like they're fantastic. They're the best. So they have like this target market that they've had for a long time, and they've been established here in Utah forever. But when I was working with them last November-ish, like Black Friday-ish, said, hey, why don't we try a male audience and position this as a gift for their significant other, for their wife, for their girlfriend, for something like that. And they're like, let's give it a shot, right? Like it's not going to kill us to do this and try it, because again, we gotta, like, we have our target, we know this works, let's see what else works. And it crushed
companies like
that. They're the best, because they're always open to like it, and it's my favorite thing, because they're actually like willing to try and listen, whereas some brands are just like, this is what we do, and just this pattern and things like that. But and it ended up crushing, where they're like, oh, hold up, let's, who else can we find that's like this? Because that's a great positioning, right? And I'm just like, okay, I'm probably gave away a little bit of a strategy there.
Not too much, no.
Yeah. Like, give away the individual.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So it's,
I think you're in the clear just because they're watching. He's okay.
Love you guys. But yeah, so it was, it really did well. And so we're like, it's really cool just because they're so open to trying new things. And then you find these opportunities. So it was a really cool experience there. And that's, you know, that's kind of, you know, the two facets, right? Where then I also work with them on their core audience stuff because you just find new people that target that same audience because, you know, a general rule of marketing is that it takes 7 exposures for someone to convert or to, you know, make a purchase, things like that. And so positioning them in multiple places where that same audience is running into, eventually like, okay, I get it. You guys are awesome. I'm going to buy a blanket. Yeah. So those are kind of the two different approaches we take with brands when it comes to working with influencers.
Yeah, I love that because the 7 rule of 7, right?
Yeah.
On average.
Yeah.
It takes 7 exposures, sometimes longer, like after they've initially been captured, then I mean it could be 30 videos for all you know, but it all depends on the audience.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why TikTok Shop crushes. And I think everyone's like, why does TikTok Shop do so well? And I think it's because the volume that you go through, you're getting those average 7 exposures faster.
Yeah.
Versus like, you know, on Instagram or YouTube, it's a lot slower pace. I mean, now Instagram has reels and like it's kind of on, but still Instagram's commerce isn't set up like TikTok Shop. It's not there. And so I think that's why TikTok Shop, like brands that figure that out. Because I'm like, you literally get exposed probably in the course of 30 minutes versus 30 days of that 7 plus exposures. Because I bought so much stuff on TikTok Shop.
Oh, yeah. I had to take my card off.
I know. It's dumb. And now you have Apple Pay and it's like, oh, I don't even need my card. Like, sure, I'll just do Apple Pay.
That's dangerous. That is really dangerous. I try to avoid that as much as possible.
Yeah. I've gotten caught a few times where it's like, I even bought like, because they do the UGC stuff, like with the TikTok Shop. There's like a couple of fun kid board games. Because I mean, everyone has your data, right? Like it's just, it is what it is. Yeah. TikTok knows I have 3 kids. And so it's like, it always serves me like fun kids board games or things. I'm like, man, that looks fun. So then I'll like buy it and then it shows up and we're playing with it. I'm like, they got my number. Like they know that.
No, at that point. It's when they start serving you things for baby stuff that maybe you should be concerned.
Yeah. Dude, wait.
I mean, like... Yeah, you know, sometimes it seems like they just know.
Dude, Target used to be really good at that too. Like Target was there was a time when, because I think like before social really took hold, because it's only been, you know, taking a hold since like 2019, 2020, like really in depth. Like Target was like notorious for that, where I think there was a story where someone found out that like their wife was pregnant before the wife told them because they baby stuff, like promotions to some, I don't know if that's made up, but I remember hearing something like that. I'm like, whoa, but that's everywhere now.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
And it kind of creeps me out
a little bit,
even though as a marketer, right?
You're like, cool, good job, guys.
Yeah. But I'm like, I appreciate the effort. I appreciate your data. Yeah. But I hope I never get served anything for baby stuff.
Yeah, you're like, I also hate this so bad.
Anything else, right? Yeah. Oh, man. No, yeah. And you can only delete your data so much.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it's openly available.
Yeah. And you try so hard. There's even like, I literally have like brand partners that we work with that actively like go out and delete your data online. Every time you make a transaction, like at this point, anytime you drive somewhere, right? Like it's just, it's insanity. The fact that I sit in my car and I turn it on and it's like, hey, are you going to the gym? And I'm like, yes, I am. This sucks. Like, I hate this.
Yeah, like my GPS, for instance, it has down to the day and the time. I can put in the GPS and it'll have my exact location that I'm going to.
The recommended,
This is the quantitative data analytics part, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
And I also simultaneously hate.
Oh, 100%.
Yep. At the same time.
No, so, it's you feel you're like, this is icky. I don't like it, but like it's useful. I get it.
And I also love it. Yeah. So, okay. So what exciting things are you working on right now? Are you working with anybody right now that you're really excited about that you can talk about? I don't want to get you in trouble here.
I think so. A lot of creators like,
there we go.
Lighten the mood a little bit. We're really running into a lot of creators that have, you know, needs for this stuff. And it is still like a really new space. And so I think, you know, I've talked to you before about how there's a low barrier to entry into the space. And so sometimes creators will have a bad taste in their mouth when it comes to working with agencies, because anyone can start a website. Anyone can claim that they know a brand or like all that, right? It's not like
I'm a genius.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It doesn't but make you sound
like if I started from zero, I could like stick build an agency in like 36 hours. Like it's yeah. not hard to like, it's just, there's not a lot there to block you from doing that. So you run into a lot of creators that are like, this is a need, but we have a bad taste in our mouth. Or I've been trying to do this by myself, but you reach a point where you can't scale.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's like, I'm too distracted with content. So fortunately for us, because we know what we're doing and we have been established in the space, worked with some great creators, we're constantly like getting more creators that are interested in working with us. So,
oh, awesome.
Which is exciting because it, one, like we get to handpick who we work with, which we're pretty selective because I like to work with people that flow well with me. Yeah, right. So it's one of those things where it's like, I don't like the like abrasive. And like, that's kind of like one of the, like the darks. I don't know if it's a dark side. But like I've literally had to drop creators because I'm like, we just don't work well. And like, I love you and you great content, all this stuff, but like the flow is not there and we need a flow because in order for us to be happy and you to be happy, we need to have some synergies and sometimes it's not there.
Yeah. Yeah. But, that's the bane of working with clients.
Yeah.
I love clients.
Yeah.
I love my clients too. Yeah. Right. But one of the downsides is sometimes you have to say, this isn't working.
Yeah.
And this isn't how I work. I want to work in a cohesive relationship.
Yep.
And so you have to step back a little and.
Yeah. It's like a little bit of a breakup and it sucks, but yeah.
Nobody
I think,
likes breakup.
Yeah, nobody likes
well,
it.
Well, sometimes you like it.
We're fortunate in the fact that we have enough creators that are interested to work with us that we can be more like, how is this going to work, right? So sometimes we'll go on, almost all the time we go on trial periods with creators unless we've been familiar with them for a while and we've warmed up to each other. We know how each other works. And it's like, all right, come on board. Like, we already know how this works. And so very excited about all the clients we're working with. On the brand side, one in particular, it's not a done deal, but it is in like the, I'm trying to think of like a generality of how to describe it. It's in the apparel world, right? But it's a very well-established brand in the apparel, kind of functional apparel world. If I said then everyone would just know that fast. It's a really cool brand. It's something that the creators that they're interested in working with, the creators are stoked out of their minds. They're like, are you serious? Like, this is cool. I'm stoked out of my minds because I love the brand, right? So it's one of those things where, and they just had a really cool kind of proof of concept. They haven't dove into the influencer world a ton, but they did, this will kind of give you more of a hint as far as I'll go, but they just did an activation at Stagecoach, a really cool activation at Stagecoach.
Oh.
Coachella. Yeah, I know, really right? Let's just find the brands. Yeah.
In the remaining time, blink. I just list every last one of them. Blink if that's them.
Yeah. But, you know, Stagecoach is, it's like the country Coachella, right? And there's a lot of creators, a lot of influencers that go there just to post content or because it's, you know, I want to go to Stagecoach just because I love country music. I mean, I live in the flipping country, right?
Like, oh,
it's a normal thing. But I've always loved country music, so I'm like, this sounds cool. But when they were there, they had every creator that was there, like, dying, like they were like, this is so sick, I want to work with you, Bo. And he's like, the guy that's running it, he's like, everyone needs to calm down, like this is like our first foray into like doing something in this realm.
Yeah.
And so now they're like, okay, how do we scale this, because clearly there's like, you know, overflowing interest in working with us, which is really cool because they've been more of a like a traditional brand in that sense, right? Like, and they have like one way they've done it, they've done really well, but they're like, okay, what's the next level up? And I think this is it. So very excited about that. We have some cool, unique products because they want to go big. And so we have some really fun, cool projects that are out there a little bit, but they're excited. I love those ones. Like the
I'm
ones
gonna
that
fry these out of you. I swear after this, I'm going to fry this out of you. He brought an NDA. Don't worry. If this brand is watching, he brought an NDA. Not really. I won't
have it under the.
Yeah, tucked away somewhere. Sorry, I tripped.
No, that's good. Yeah, no. So that's an exciting one. One that I love that I did last year was actually working with Red Bull, and it wasn't just like a standard. Again, I like the unique activations and ones because I have a marketing mind, and you want to go big, like you love. There we go.
We're the intensity. We're getting intense now.
But you like marketers and creative people in general have like that. I feel like it built in where you just want to like do cool, like not run of the mill stuff. Like that's important, but like there's the big projects you just start salivating. Right. And so last year we did one with Red Bull, where it was Red Bull, Can You Make It? And it's an event they haven't done in like 5 years. And so what they did is it's kind of like a Amazing Race, if you like are familiar with that show.
Yeah, yeah.
But they had these contestants that would star all over in Europe in different countries. And the end point was Berlin, Germany. And so they had to race to get there. But the only way that they – like the only currency they could exchange was Red Bull cans.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, so they, okay. It was a play on Can You Make It? And so they had to exchange, hey, can I get a ride? Here's a Red Bull, like that kind of stuff. And then there were challenges along the way to collect like points where you, and also more cans. So you collect more currency. So it's like, hey, do you go bungee jumping? Do you go skydiving? Do this many like X challenges, you know? So it was a really cool thing, but I was able to coordinate with that with a really big travel creator. And he was actually kind of the host of it. So he was like, welcome him to the finish line. And he did an after show with the creator. It was really, really cool.
That's
was a fun one. Yeah.
I would make it about 20 miles.
Yeah.
And I would try to get a ride and people would be like,
nah, we're good. I would just run out because I'd drink the Red Bulls. I'd be like, I got to drink this. I need the energy.
Well, you take the cans.
Yes.
I mean, it's empty, but you could exchange it.
It's like 10 cents. Yeah, something like that, depending on where you're at.
Yeah. Won't make it very far. Maybe.
That was a cool project, too. So those are the types of things I like doing, but I also like really get satisfaction out of helping creators just grow and make this their profession. So that's another thing. Like, I love the big projects, but it's also like working with creators that are so appreciative that it's like, I've been wanting to be just a creator because a lot of people do because of X, Y, Z, whether it's, you know, this is something I'm passionate about. It opens up more doors for me to do this. Whether it's spending more time with the family, because there is more flexibility in being a creator. Right. And you know, that marketing in general has more flexibility. So it's very, you know, fulfilling for me to help people reach those kind of goals too. And especially when they're like very, very grateful for it. It's like, you know, because I mean, you think about it, most people, you know, if you can make 10 grand a month, like that's crazy. 10 grand a month filming content, that's so awesome.
They're happy.
Yeah. And
I
they're
10K.
Dope. And it's usually, you know, people that have like normal traditional jobs where it's like 10K a month, like that's a good paying job.
Yeah.
And so for you to be able to do that just by making content you're enjoying and it's also so flexible, I'm like, there's no trade off. Like that's amazing.
Yeah. That's incredible. Especially, you know, 10K that replaces somebody's job or at least comes close.
Yep.
Right. Depending on where they're comfortable, right?
Yeah.
But 10K is enough to be able to step away from, say, a full-time job and be able to focus on that creative aspect.
Well, then you open up more money because you're be able to only do the content and you can do more and you can do more volume and quality. So, that's also very fulfilling. I love that so much when it's like, oh my gosh, like this is, I never would have thought that I would have gotten paid this for just making a video or making posts or things like that, right? Wow. Those are my favorite creators to work with.
That's awesome. Let's talk after.
Yeah,
let's get this rolling.
I love it.
They are. I don't know why we chose the motion sensored room of all places.
Maybe I just need to like make big motions. I'm already making motions. Maybe just make it bigger. I don't know.
Well, it's just for the effect.
Yes,
it's really for the emotion.
Keeps you on your toes. I like it. The visual aspect.
There we go. Perfect.
Perfect.
Awesome. Well, cool. So tell me, what's next for you? You're growing.
Yeah.
Pretty fast.
Yeah.
Too.
Yep.
What's next for you guys though?
So for main one of the things like as a business owner that you focus on is like I said, what's next? But also there has to be some kind of like, whether it's an exit or you know what I mean? Like some kind of strategy or endpoint. But to do that, in my mind, you need something tangible, something proprietary, right? So one of the things we're working on is like building out proprietary systems that are real, like actual tangible things that become assets.
Yeah.
Because there are, I mean, there's big fish in this pond. Like there, like I said, there's a lot of low barrier to entry, but there's also really big fish in this pond. Like you have you know, the classic, like the WME or the CAAs that represent Hollywood. And then they,
just kidding. Those guys are huge, by the way.
Massive. And they're like the, you know, the just legacy type agencies, right? Where they're repping. I mean, when you go through their rosters, it's like, oh, George Clooney. Okay. Like, you know what?
I've heard of him.
Yeah, I know. Right. I'm trying to think of who, what's the girl that plays Wednesday? I feel like that's more real. Like George Clooney's like a little bit back.
Ortega. Is it Jenny?
Yes. Jenna. Oh, we're going to.
Jenna.
Yeah. Jenna Ortega. We're going to get destroyed.
And we're going to get destroyed in the comments, yes, but hey, that's bad. Okay.
Yeah.
I've never seen it,
but
I've never seen Wednesday.
I totally like you right now.
Said that.
No, oh, but no, that was just for the effect.
There we go. It's that good.
Was, yeah.
But I mean, those are the people that are on their rosters, right? And yeah. So you have these big fish, but they also do a lot of acquisitions. I mean, I keep track of when they're buying these agencies, but like one of the things in common is that they don't just have like an exclusive roster, but they have tangible assets that come with them.
Yeah.
And I think like an exit strategy is not like the only option, right? Like there is an option that like in my head too, I'm just probably naive enough to think like I could get to that level. Why not? Like I'm cool enough that I could be a CAA at some point. And like either that or they'll try and squish me like Amazon does to other little brands.
Everybody.
Yeah. But I'm like in my head, I'm like an exit's not the only option, right? Like you could grow it to that level and just kind of, you know, expand the team and you know, all that type of stuff. Yeah. So there's a couple different, but that's what's on my mind right now is creating more tangible assets and things that are going to maximize our effectiveness and our time. And so we can put more, especially into the relationships with the creators. That's definitely so beneficial where I can get on a phone with a creator and talk things out with them, talk about like their latest video, be like, hey, you know, a lot of creators will ask, hey, what can I improve? What, yeah. Like, was that a good video? Like, how can we make it better? How can we make the views, the click through, all that different stuff better?
I love those kinds of creators.
Oh yeah.
Like we've got 1500 podcasts.
Yeah.
And my favorite podcasts are the ones that are like, okay, hey, how did that one go?
Yeah.
Did I do okay?
Yeah.
And I guarantee they're going to come back to me after they see this and be like, so these are my talking points. This is where you could have improved.
Yep.
you know, and go through. But I love people like that because they're constantly looking at improving.
Yeah. When they're genuine when they ask, because there's some creators like, what'd you think of the video? And I'm like, knowing you, like, I'm going to be like, hey, it was good, dude. Like every time, like, great video, bro. Like, but it's like the ones that are genuine, like, no, like, tell me, where did I suck? And like, how can I do better? What do you think I can do? You know, I just had lunch with an awesome creator last week and it was like 2 hours of just, where are the holes? Like, I want to, like, I'm here and I want to level up. Where are the holes? And be honest, be real. I don't care. It's not going to hurt my feelings because the only way to grow is to like understand where the holes are. And so I love those creators. Like they genuinely want feedback. And then all of a sudden you have a deep relationship because there's that trust when it's like, okay, I'll be honest with you. And then, you know, sometimes they're like, I don't see that. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. Maybe I'm wrong. But then there's other times like, oh yeah, I'll try and swap that next time.
Yeah. I love the reception of the feedback.
Yeah.
Right. When people aren't open to receiving feedback or aren't open to recommendations, like, hey, your dropped off about minute 5. Right. This is how we could potentially loop people in through a hook or through offering additional value or something like that, where, you know, maybe you're leading into something else.
Get a re-engagement type thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you want people to stay on as long as possible because YouTube is looking at that, looking at everything else. And I'm not just saying YouTube, right?
Everywhere. Like it's constant. Attention is the currency, right? So it's like the more the longer you can hold attention, the more valuable it is.
Yeah, exactly. And that is your currency.
Yeah.
That's how a lot of these people get paid, at least, plus the brands 100%. And everything else.
Yeah, so. It's insane. I mean, even the streaming platforms, they're fighting for your attention and it's, you know, it makes me laugh when we're watching like Netflix and it's like, are you still watching? I'm like, you should not ask that, but just let me keep watching. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, if you have my attention or if you're playing, just let it play. Like,
yeah. I mean, you don't want to pry yourself from.
Well, no, we've been watching Lego Masters. I don't even know if that's on Netflix, but it's the competition where they build insane Lego things.
Oh man. 7-year-old me is screaming right now.
Dude, my 7-year-old is like, can I watch the next episode? And I'm like, dude, two is enough. Like let's wait till tomorrow.
Or it's you're into it
100%.
Into this and be like, yeah, you can watch that.
Yeah, that's fine. You can. I'll. Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
I guess you can watch.
Yeah, we're at the now that he's 7. We're at the level we have those big buckets of Legos where it's like you build a set and then after a while you're like, I'll break them up and then you can build it. Like that's where we're at. But when I was a kid, dude, we had buckets of it. Like it was my parents still have them up in the when they come over, they have them in the playroom to where they there we go.
This is the intensity.
This is the intense part of the Legos. Yeah, but the Legos. It's fantastic. But yeah, that's like attention is the currency, right? Like that's just it is what it is. And we have, I think, money, when you think about money, everyone's like, oh, money, currency, right? You can always make more money. That's my financial plan, by the way, is like, just make more money. That's literally my strategy.
Mine too.
Yeah, actually. Like, oh, this is a problem. Let's make more money. Let's just bury it in money and eventually it'll get there. That's my financial strategy, which is horrible. I should probably come up with a better investment strategy.
I should probably come up with another one too.
Yeah, it's bad.
I have no excuse.
But you can always make more money, right? Like there's not like a limit to that, but we only have X amount of waking hours in a day.
Yeah.
Every single day it's the same, and we can't expand that unless we get less sleep, and then it's not a good idea. So it's like, on average, we only have X amount of waking hours in a day, and we only have X amount of time in a day. So it's like, when someone picks to watch a YouTube video, especially, you know, a 20-minute YouTube video, that's such a valuable space for like promotion or anything. Like for the creator's brand, for a brand that's sponsoring that piece of content, because for them to spend that 20 minutes, there's a reason why we say spend time, right?
Yeah.
They are spending that 20 minutes on that YouTube video. That's super, super valuable. And the fact that they pick that over, I can't remember the number, some insane amount of videos that get uploaded per day on YouTube. Oh, it's crazy.
Is YouTube, I'm trying to remember if YouTube is still the largest, like above Google, or if TikTok has like, started to creep in, right?
Yeah.
But those videos, the content, how you structure with the content creators, how you structure some of their videos and everything else, really determines what kind of traffic YouTube is going to send.
Oh, 100%.
Videos.
Yeah.
Same with all of the platforms. Yep. Right?
And that's really why creators get obsessed, like you said, with the analytics and stuff like that, because it's like, how do I get more clicks, more eyeballs? How do I keep, like YouTube says, like, hey, you have, one of the core metrics is you have X amount of your audience still watching after 30 seconds. Like that's something creators watch a lot. It's like, how do I increase that retention? Like there's all the, but again, it's attention's the currency there. And so it's like, that's why on the back end, the YouTube studio, creators who are succeeding or who find that growth are the ones who are obsessed with that, because you can kind of analyze and say, okay, like I need a better hook. I need to keep like a re-engagement. I need to do this. I need to have a better storyline, those kind of things.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's a lot of strategy. Like people, it's so funny. People think like, oh, you just post a picture or post a video.
No.
And I'm like, no, not like you can.
Good luck.
Yeah. There's,
I mean, you can. There's good try.
No one's preventing you from doing that. But like when you have to, I mean, some of these creators, it's really like a much harder job than what if they just took a normal job, because they're obsessing about it 24/7. Another thing is if you're sick or you're just not in the mood, it's hard to be creative, like really, really hard to create like a good storyline and be creative. And they have to push through that. And it's not like you can just take a sick day because, you know, people are expecting content. It's so,
I just don't feel like it.
Yeah. It's like, sorry, I'm not feeling up to it. And it's like, that's, again, there's trade-offs. And that's one of the kind of the downsides of it is like, you know, you are in the content business, like this, you got to push through, like, and it's hard.
Yeah. You've just got to keep on continuing pushing. And I know for me, like, with the podcast side, right?
Yeah.
I kind of went a different route, you know, but the fundamentals are still similar.
Yep.
They're adjacent, I guess I should say, because I won't compare it directly. Where whether I'm sick, whether I have the flu, whether I have laryngitis, guess what I'm doing? Guess what my hosts are doing? They're still hopping on those interviews.
Oh, 100%.
And I always recommend, hey, put together a list of content ideas and guests that correlate with those content ideas. And as long as it jives, as long as both parties are, you know, okay with it and everything else, then move forward with it. That way you don't have to think so deeply about, well, what am I going to make this theme about?
Yep.
Right. It's there. It's built in. Of course, there's a lot of work that goes in on the back end, guys.
So much.
It's, I'm oversimplifying everything.
But that's good. Like when you're like, especially that's such a good hack is when you, cause you'll find like you're in like a creative flow every now and again, it's like, grab hold of that. And like, that's so smart. You're like as many things you can think of, take that creative time and maximize it. Because sometimes there are times where you're like, I got nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, even last week, right? Was it last week that you were on the screen test?
Yeah. I think it was a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. A couple weeks ago. I had a flu. I don't know if you could tell.
Power. You did good. I did not know.
But you push through. You power through and you create the content. Yep. And then we test our audiences like crazy, right? To determine who people want to hear from.
Yeah.
Right? And you came up at the very top, right?
Thank you.
Thank you. I certainly appreciate it. But, you know, it's you can't exactly take a week off.
No, it's, and if you do, you pay for it. Like, and that's why, like, having a pipeline is also nice, right? Like, you have, you know, that's, I think, something in common in the podcast space is having a pipeline to give you a little insurance from that stuff. I mean, even, you know, creators on like YouTube, Instagram, like, they will have a pipeline. And typically they're just constantly filling that, you know, if it's a 1 to 2 week thing, they're just always like refilling that. But in the case that you have like the flu and you're like, look, I'm down, but I have a little bit of padding to where I can take a few days to just like not deal with it. And so I can get past this and then like refill the pipeline. Right. So that's also a really, really smart strategy. But again, that comes with planning. And that's another, like, I think that's another commonality between successful creators is that there's planning, there's like forward thinking to where you have a pipeline, because then you can, like, for if a video project, maybe something gets thrown into the mix, like there's something goes wrong or you can't get something for the content itself, like you have more time to make it happen, versus like, you know, you're always, everything's on fire and you're trying to get something done, and then like the content, sometimes you can feel it in the content where it's like, ooh, this was kind of rushed.
Oh,
like,
yeah. You know, it's, you can tell, because then they, you know, it's kind of pieced together. Uh-huh. It's just like a, you know, stitched together somehow, but it's not really fully coherent.
Yeah. And then you're just flustered. And you can tell, like, you're a little bit like you're all over the place. So that's I think that's another key, like, you know, thing that we try and help the creators with is planning. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, from a brand sponsorship perspective, like we're trying to plan 2 months out to where it's like we have everything laid out. We have like a system that's already built, where they can go in and they can see like, oh, okay, these are our brand sponsors. I know what's coming. And a lot of times they'll try and build it into the content itself, which is cool, because then it does better in general. Like you'll see less of a drop off on the retention graph. But like that future planning, but also we try and have a calendar where it's like, hey, even a high level concept, so we can sell against that, because sometimes specific brands are like, hey, what's the content about?
Yeah.
And we can tell them, oh, this is the, you know, this is the overview of it, and this is how we see you fit into the content. And so that's also very helpful. And, you know, the brands love that, the creators love that, because then again, they're not pulling their hair out trying to pick what are we filming today or tomorrow or this week or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and then you can build that into, say, a portfolio if you wanted to be able to bring on more sponsors.
Yep.
Like, hey, this is how the creators will shape the video potentially. I don't, you know, I don't know if you mandate anything, but like, this is how our creators function.
Yeah.
Is they're building the brand into the video. They're really shaping it in a way that's going to be appealing toward your audience.
Yep.
And then we, you know, by default, if it's done properly, at least.
Yeah.
There are conversions.
Oh, way better conversions. You see, like, it just, you know, from it, this is just my perspective, just, it's nothing backed by data, at least. I mean, I'm sure I could find the data, but this is just me, like,
your disclosure.
Yeah, this is. Yeah, I'm sure there's data there, but this is just me, like, saying this. But like the level of like renewals for brand sponsorships and partnerships is way higher for the creators we work with that build things into the storyline, because you almost can't like go around the sponsor content because it is in the storyline. So it's, you have to watch it, right? Yeah. Like, it's one of those things where you can't. Brand placements in movies, right? Like, you can't fast forward if there's like a, you know, they're going to a Walmart or something. It's part of the storyline. And you know, like, Walmart probably paid, at least back in the day, they would pay for the, you know, the placement.
A lot of money. Millions of dollars.
Yeah. And it's like, but you can't go around that because it's part of the storyline. And so if you take that, this is another thing I tell creators in general, is that Hollywood's been around for such a long time for a reason. They have a formula, they have things that they do. And yeah, there's things that need updating. And that's kind of where like disruption from YouTube and other creators comes into space. But there's a lot of things that they do that we can take from and learn from. And that's like integrating sponsorships into the content. Like, you can't fast forward a movie that has a brand placement because you're going to miss part of the storyline. You'd be like, what was the conversation? Right? Like,
you just fast forward through that section and then you're lost.
And you have no idea. So that's like, it's almost like you've not forced, but you make it so it becomes part of the story. And that's a really a brilliant thing. But there's a lot of lessons you can take. You could do a whole podcast on like lessons you can take from Hollywood, because they are master storytellers.
And I would gladly do that podcast, because it is intricate.
Yeah.
There's so many details and so much history.
Well, and they just have time on their side. They've been around for so long that they've been able to see what doesn't work, and they do it on a massive scale, right? When I see movie budgets still, and I'm like, 300 million? Who has 300 million? And who's getting this money? Like, that's crazy. And then, like, most of the time it's like, oh, it only made 180. And I'm like, who's affording 120 mil loss?
No big deal.
Yeah. And it's crazy. But like, I mean, they just have the money to funnel it in there. But like, another thing is like movie posters. I talk about movie posters with creators a lot because title and thumbnail on YouTube matters.
Oh, it's huge.
And I say, go study movie posters because, especially back like even 10 years ago, that was how, like, that was a major part of what made you want to watch a movie is if, like, when you saw a movie poster or, you know, that was the thumbnail for the movie.
Yeah.
And so you kind of look at it and be like, how did they structure this to tell a story in a single frame that's like appealing enough that it draws me, but it's not too much overwhelming where I'm like, that looks messy, I don't want it. But I'm like, that's another massive thing, movie posters. And then I was actually had this realization just like a month ago, board games. Like, board games is another, when you go to Target and like, it's literally like YouTube, like the YouTube homepage in a board game shelf, because you look at it and they're all competing for you to buy them, right?
Yeah.
But they have to communicate what the board game is in a one image on front, and you have to understand. And it's fun to do that, like to look at it and be like, which ones am I drawn to? And it's most likely because you understand what the game is just from the picture on the box, like Uno Attack, where people are like, ah, and there's Uno shooting at them. You're like, okay, yeah, I totally understand what that game is because I know Uno and like the shooting of the cards. I'm like, that looks kind of fun. Maybe I should get that. And then the ones that are just like a simple box, you're like, I don't know, it's not super compelling. I don't really know
what it is. Yeah, I have a friend who made a video, or not a video game, a board game.
Yeah.
Poopocalypse. Let me tell you, everybody knows what game that is from the cover, right? It's a fun game.
Yeah.
It's actually really fun, right? Johnny did a great job with that. But it's definitely a testament to selling through compelling messaging.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's nothing quite like that.
Yeah. I mean, you see the title of the board game and you're like, I'm intrigued. Like, what is...
I kind of want to play it, and I'm kind of grossed out, but I also am really intrigued.
There's that other game called like Throw Burrito. I don't know if you ever played that. I've played that with my kids, where it's like literally, I think it's like a card game, and you have two foam burritos, and when you like get a certain, you like literally throw the burrito at like, and you get a point or something like that. Like, I'm like, but
yeah, so much trouble. Oh, if I did that as a kid, my brother and sister would have been pegged right in the head. It was so fast.
And then it escalates.
So so fast. It would turn into frozen burritos. I'll put it that way. It would be fun. Oh, hey, there's the lights. The intensity just let go.
Yeah.
We're no longer as intense now, guys. So, well, fantastic. Hey, thank you so much for coming by.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great to have you. Steven Sear from
Main One.
There we go. Thanks. I get to do this part manually.
Oh, that's fun. Shut her down.